This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 269. That thing that happened that time in that one place. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking
girl
best.
Gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to another new episode of our podcast.
Ni hao.
How you been? Don't be like that. You know you've been good.
I've been good in the hood.
Yeah. I was mostly asking them how they've been.
Yeah, how have you guys been?
How has the gamersphere been treating you? Because we have started officially what I am calling Broke Bitch November.
Yep, which is not like Brokeback Mountain.
Well, it's kind of. I mean, you know, I wish I could quit you.
Something's going to go down in the tent. And by the tent, we mean our living rooms with our TVs.
I wish I could quit you, but I can't.
You know, it's going to get pretty graphic up in this bitch.
It is. Because November brings with it a slew of really, really powerful titles.
And by slew, we mean a lot.
And by a lot, we mean a space lot, because they're two words. And
unless it's the monster.
Yes.
Like, I love you a lot. And you hold it like
a
Pokemon.
I like this a lot more than that.
Oh,
hyperbole and a half, I love you. If you haven't checked out that website, you should, hyperboleandahalf.com. Anyway, we've got games to talk about. Well, we have a game to talk about. We have a shared game experience that we're going to be talking about today. But just to remind you, you know, holiday season is upon us. So pretty much, the podcast from here on out is mostly going to be our thoughts on big name titles
that you most likely, if you don't own yet, will get for Christmas.
Or want to get for whatever holiday thing that you're
Christmas
celebrating.
Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa.
Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa.
Or Festivus. I like Festivus better. I can say it.
That's true. You can't say it.
Festivus!
Although Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa isn't really difficult.
Yeah, but it's me we're talking about.
Yeah, that's true. Let's move on. So kicking things off for us, for Broke Bitch November, is Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. Yeah.
I mean, can we really start it off? I mean, even though we're going into that's our, like, group thing, our mutual topic today, but can't we say that Gears 3 kind of opened that floodgate towards all of that?
Gears opened the floodgate.
And then Arkham City, don't forget that. That was also a big name.
Arkham City was huge, which we talked about, okay? But we're talking about Broke Bitch November. And
I mean, that came out in October.
And
Gears came out in September.
You know, so it's in the quarter, but it's not really leading off.
I think those
holiday.
Two games were like in the eye of the storm, like the calm before.
I would say that they were the calm before the storm.
Okay.
I think that's a fair thing because the storm really is November. When you look at everything that's dropping in November,
it should drop from the sky and land in my backyard.
Well, I wish that it would drop from the sky and land
in
my backyard.
It's like a little. The game stork came and dropped off.
Look, it's the game stork. It's
like
the game stork.
What's he dropping off this week?
Oh, game stork, what do you have for us?
It's like it's a twin bundle set.
It's a what? It's a what?
But anyway, yeah. So,
but if you look at November and you start taking a peek at, you know, everything that's coming out.
I mean, if we really want to talk about it, I mean, you know, Uncharted did drop November 1. So literally,
exactly.
It was first day
it's
of November.
The lead off of Broke Bitch November.
There's no earlier than November 1.
Okay. The first week of November, you had the Persona 2 game for the PSP drop.
People still use PSPs?
Yeah, there are people that still use PSPs.
Okay.
You know, you had Just Dance 3 drop. You had that BlazBlue Continuum game that dropped for both the PSP and the DS, the 3DS, actually. You had GoldenEye 007 drop.
Oh, I have to get that.
Do you see what I'm saying? So, I mean, we're kicking off Broke Bitch November. You also had a Naruto game that came out. Dude, but I'm just saying, all right? It's you know.
Naruto sucks.
It's the first.
It stinks worse than anchovies.
I'm just saying, all right?
It's anchovies in a diaper that was worn by a llama.
Okay.
In the desert.
All right. And, I mean, you do have the Black Eyed Peas experience, which is going to drop next week.
So, are they actually
like the Michael Jackson experience, but for Black Eyed Peas music.
I was going to say, like, are they going to experience when Fergie pissed herself on stage? Because, I mean, that's an experience for the Kinect.
You've got Skyrim dropping. You've got
Skyrim.
Modern Warfare.
Skyrim.
You've got Modern Warfare 3 dropping.
Yep.
Okay. Dude, it's just, it's ridiculous. Like, when you think about
everything. That shit cray.
Yo, that shit is cray.
That shit cray.
Okay, so, and that's just, like, the second week of November, dude. We haven't even gotten to Saints Row the Third. We haven't gotten to the Assassin's Creed game. I mean, November, I think, is really the beginning of the holiday corridor.
It's like a start of a beautiful friendship.
An expensive, beautiful friendship.
It looks like I'm breaking the bank. And by breaking the bank, I mean other people's accounts, because I'm a broke bitch.
And this is not your month.
Nope.
Thank God for Gamefly. But here's the problem. With your AA and AAA titles, those are going to be the things that people are putting all in their queues. It's just like Netflix. And so they're going to be low availabilities. So prioritize your Gamefly queues, people.
That, or have a sister who's going to buy her edition, her super elite editions, wait for her to play or get bored with it, and then steal it when she's at work.
You can also
borrow. You don't steal it, because she lives a floor lower than you, so there's no point in trying to steal it because she knows where the fuck your room is.
Exactly.
But borrow.
And I'm not afraid to go in there.
You shouldn't be. There's nothing in there that will scare you.
I don't know. Sometimes I worry. There might be.
It looks quite normal. Just don't look underneath the bed.
Okay. I can do that.
Or the closet.
Or the third
drawer to my dresser.
I'm not going in
there. Especially the third drawer of the dresser. Do not go in there.
I'm not going in there.
It's like that Del Toro movie, the Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. Do not open the third drawer.
I'm not opening the third drawer.
Don't. Not even in 3D.
I'm not doing it.
Don't have. Nope.
Nope. Nope. But back to our topic. We're kicking off Broke Bitch November with Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. And the first thing I have to say is, I've made no bones about, and I'm pretty sure we're both in agreement on this one, that we love what Naughty Dog does.
Yes.
Okay. I have not been disappointed with any Uncharted outing that I've had.
Me neither.
Okay. Uncharted's multiplayer, really, to be honest with you, was the first multiplayer that I played that got me wanting to do multiplayer again. And that's what fueled
Are you talking about the cooperative multiplayer and not the...
No.
The actual competitive multiplayer.
The competitive multiplayer.
Okay.
The competitive multiplayer from Uncharted 2... basically relighted my flame, if you will, for our competitive multiplayer. And it got me playing the Gears multiplayer again for 2 before I lent it out. And it really...
lent it out or...
Well, I lent it out and then it turned into a just flat out gave.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you gave it to me.
Yeah. It was a borrow that turned into a just.
Well, that's because I borrowed it, played it, and then I bought all the maps. And I was like, I bought all the multiplayer maps, so now it's like I invested into your game more than you did. So it felt like it was spiritually mine.
But yeah, see, the thing that you forget, and the thing that she always forgets about that whole Gears outing was I got the special edition of Gears, so I had the multiplayer maps. I just hadn't played them.
Yeah, but I played them and owned them, so dibs. Dibs. Spiritual dibs.
Spiritual dibs.
There was a calling. Oh, but anyway. Yeah.
So anyway, we've been excited about Uncharted 3 since Naughty Dog announced that, yes, for real, it is happening. before they announced that there was going to be a movie. And then there was the whole debacle over
who would be
Nathan Drake. And I know a lot of our friends fell into the Nathan Fillion camp. But as he stated before, he's too beefy. Nathan Drake isn't that beefy. You gotta have something.
But I don't even think
beefy.
We should even talk about that, because the freaking werewolf guy from the Twilight, Lautner.
Yeah, Taylor Lautner.
Was super beefy for the second and third movie. But you see him now, and all that bulk is gone. He's like, he's still hot, but he's like
normal beefy.
Normal hunky. He's not beefy anymore. He's just hunky now.
Yeah.
Because he's not massive. He doesn't have the neck muscles anymore. Not that I know what the fuck you do with those anyway.
Oh, you know, I'm sure you could come up with something. But here's the thing. You know, I think that whatever the movie turns out to be, there are going to be people who are not happy, because it's not going to be the voice that we know for Nathan. It's not going to be, you know, the characters that we fall in love, because they're not going to have the same delivery. It's not like they're going to be able to get Cynthia What's-Her-Face to
Claudia
actually,
Black.
Thank you. Thank you.
Chloe. They're,
yeah, to be Chloe. So it'll be a different experience. And as long as you can suspend your disbelief and they do it right, it should be entertaining. But it's not going to be Uncharted.
Have they confirmed that it's going to be Marky Mark?
I don't know. They've gone back and forth.
Because I'd have a hard time with that.
I haven't really
because he was Max Payne. So, like, I've already seen him in a video game.
I know.
Genre,
I know. That's...
And I can't whitewash that away.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I already know that you're Max Payne. You can't be Max Payne and Nathan Drake to me. You can't do it. It's gotta be a no-name. It's gotta be, not even a no-name, but it's gotta be someone who has not played a game icon yet.
I agree. Because then it just creates all kind of confusion. I'm pretty decent at suspending my disbelief, but not, like, crazily.
Yeah.
So, to the game. Like I said, we've been very happy with every outing that we've had with Naughty Dog, and Uncharted 3 does not disappoint. I had wondered how they were going to up the experience that we had in 2. You know, how do you top that? Because that game felt, you know, pretty rock solid, with the exception of a couple of camera glitches.
I glitched into a wall the other day, like, in the sinking ship. Like, I glitched into the beam, and I'm like, I'm going to drown. And I drowned. Okay, we can start over now.
Yeah, but at least it's not like a glitch that you just stay in a place and you have to, like, reload from a checkpoint.
Right.
That's one thing I have to say, that every time that I've glitched, it's either been a positive for me or an instant death thing, and I just pick up right where I left off.
Okay.
So, those are the kind of glitches that I'm like, that's okay. As long as it doesn't, like, lock me in a space where I can't move. Like, I was playing God of War 2, and I somehow, you know, the chamber where you're in Hades, and you have to swim, and there are, like, blades that come flying at you.
Yes.
You have to dodge the blades. I somehow glitched underneath the blades. So I was just, like, in this black space swimming around. I could never get up above the blades or, like, hit a blade to die. And I couldn't get up to the space I needed to go. So I literally was just stuck in, like, this ether.
Yes.
But I have to say that even the glitches that I've had in Uncharted, like I said, have either been really positive for me. I've either glitched to a spot that I was trying to reach and I wasn't going to make it, but somehow I did. Or I've glitched to something that I couldn't get out of, but I immediately died for whatever reason. And was able to pick up where I left off of. So even the glitches that I've had have been fairly positive in the game. So I'm just going to tell you right now, be prepared. This podcast is going to be a love fest, because I think it's pretty fair to say has a love.
There is love here, but even within love, there are going to be moments where I could have, no, I'll have a question of critique preference.
That's fine. I has a love. I'm just going to, like, flat out say it. I has love for Uncharted.
I've got nothing but love for it, but
here's the but.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly where I'm going to leave it until we get to that part.
All right. So, to recap the story, Nathan Drake is still Nathan motherfucking Drake. He climbs. This mofo climbs all kinds of stuff.
And he's been climbing since he was a wee bairn.
Yes. And that's one thing that I do like. So I'm not ruining anything for you here, but you will actually play a flashback of Nathan when he was younger and actually get to see how he and Sully actually came to be the pair that they are. And one thing I will say that really hit me about this Uncharted is really how much more for the emotional and relationship side of things Naughty Dog seemed to go, as opposed to not just the action. You know, we had a little bit of character development and relationship development in 2 with all the stuff with Nathan and Elena.
I felt that 2 had a really good mix of dramatic, comedic, action in right. it. This game has actually taken a little slant towards the dramatic.
Oh, a little?
Alright, not a little. Has definitely taken a big swoosh towards the dramatic, and there are some choice lines of comedic, you know, timing in this game, but it wasn't very cheeky. It wasn't as cheeky as 2 was. So I think they really wanted to package it up and give you a resolution.
Of sorts.
Of sorts, yeah. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's what we'll say. Of sorts, there's a resolution.
Yeah.
But definitely more on the emotional side. I really felt, you know, like you mentioned with the dramatic thing, that there's more relationship stuff between Nathan and his friends. A little bit of a peek of what drives Nathan Drake.
Which was, I think, kind it was a question of what motivates. There was really that overlap, like, what are you trying to prove? What are you trying to get out of what you do in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, everyone kind of asked, like, are you fucking crazy? Like, and he was just like, no, I'm just Nathan Drake.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not crazy. I'm Nathan Drake.
I was like, that was close. Yeah, I know. No, this whole thing is really close. Like, you're pushing your friend limit here.
Yeah.
Like, he already had his dead hooker in Vegas.
Yeah, and he's, like, going for, like, 2.
He's going for that second hooker, and they're all like, dude, you got one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, we're going to do our damnedest to not give a lot of things away, because
that's going to be really hard to do.
It is going to be very difficult. We're going to try. We're not going to promise that we're not going to spoil some things for you.
I'm going to let her do the spoiling, because you need to develop a bad reputation for it so I can come back. Because
ninja spoilers, I sneak them in like, whoa, there it was,
like a shuriken.
I know,
so shuriken of spoiler, really fast. Did you catch that? Nope, we're moving on.
All right, yep. So here's my current eye of justice. Oh, you missed it. Oh well. I will say that as far as the gameplay mechanics, I have more difficulty playing than you do, and the biggest problem I think where it comes in is I still have my original 6-axis controller for my PS3. And it's way too light, and it's not as sensitive. Like, when I was playing your game on your Slim, I was much better with Nathan playing on hard on your PS3 than playing on easy on my PS3.
Maybe I should play on your PS3. So
I think we should test it. I think we should test it, because I'm almost sure that that's the difference. Because,
oh my God, we could do a segment, like, PS3 fat versus PS3 slim, like, if there's a difference.
I think...
mechanic difference.
Because, as you saw when I was playing your Nathan upstairs, I was much better.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I was killing like a mofo.
Yeah, I know.
Which I have not been able to pull off. Like, there was a time where stealth kills definitely play a bigger role in Uncharted 3. So you really get punished if you try to go guns blazing into anything on any difficulty.
Don't Rambo. If it looks like something you could Rambo and you think you'd take it, no.
Do not Leroy Jenkins this shit. You will be punished.
I mean, I would even say you can even do a partial Rambo. I think that's how I tend to do it. I might get through 3 or 4 guys before I might mess up. And at that point, I have a vantage point where I can manipulate it to my advantage.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't always happen.
You can half Leroy, but don't full on Leroy.
Don't be like, I'm just gonna jump in and kick you in the face, because then you got snipers and bombs everywhere.
You got bitches with RPGs
and the hammer thing.
Oh my God, that hammer thing is just a ridiculous
weapon. It can go jump off a bridge.
It's really just ridiculous.
It can see you next Tuesday.
Thank you. But I will definitely caution you against doing that. You will get punished for it. The AI is smarter.
No shit.
But that's a good thing, because it should be challenging. I mean, if it's a cakewalk, it's not a Nathan Drake game.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. But the AI is definitely smarter, so you won't, like, you know, be in an area and try to sneaking on somebody, and if an enemy's pointing your way, but you're high enough, they won't see you. If they're pointing your way, and they've got a light, they will eventually see you.
Yeah.
If you run, they will hear the noise, and they will come looking for it. And they won't just come looking for it and do a left look, a right look, and walk away. They'll stay there for
they
a
won't,
while.
They won't do a Splinter Cell conviction on you, where it's like,
no.
Nope, I don't see anyone. Turn around. Nope. They'll sit there until you finally are like, oh, forget this, and bullet them to the face.
Yes. So AI is much improved. They target you better. They defend themselves better.
Oh, man, and they aggressively attack you, too. Like, they won't just sit there and wait for you to engage in a melee. They'll melee you first.
Yep.
If they're close enough in range.
Okay. I was hiding out in one spot, and I guess I made a noise, and I didn't realize it. Like, I had turned, and I wasn't in cover when I turned. And so one of the AI was like, something's over there. And I expected them to just be, like, looking with their flashlight for a while and, like, peeking around the corner. Motherfucker threw a grenade.
It's like, oh, just a cat.
Just in case there's something in there. And threw a grenade. I was like, son of a bitch.
It was just a rat. It was a rat. Well, it's a dead rat now.
So I had to throw the grenade back, which, of course, blew my cover. And there was, like, 30 guys in this area because I was in the Syria, the Citadel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, son of a monkey. It's just me and these 30 dudes. And why does that guy have an RPG?
It's like, I'll flush them out.
Okay, and why do the AI, whenever they have an RPG, have an unlimited amount of ammo, but you pick up the RPG and you only have 2 shots?
Well, I've always come across maybe one that's got 3 or 4.
No, everyone that I came across was only had 2 by the time I got to the guy. So AI is much improved. You will definitely get a workout for sure. And so it is a much better strategy to really try to think of a strategy as you're playing through most of these areas, because stealth really is your friend. If you can, like Panda said, half Rambo, or in my case, half Leroy, the area where you can get at least half of the guys out stealthily without raising any awareness before you take out the other half, you will be rewarded. As you take enemies out using stealth kills, you actually get, or they should say, they drop better weapons than they would drop if you had actually just taken them out full frontal attack.
Yep.
And this is denoted by a little, like, ninja symbol.
Yep, and there are, I think there's either three levels of trophies that you can get.
Yeah, for stealth kills.
For stealth kills.
So if you're a trophy monger, then
you
absolutely, absolutely want to do it. And I will say that it definitely benefits you more on the higher difficulties to really invest time in figuring out the stealth way to take people out, because you do get punished. Very much like Gears, bullets do more damage as your difficulty goes up, so you can take less damage. So it's really to your benefit to use the
stealth. Oh, and melee does too. Melee, you know, before, you could get pummeled by 3 or 4 guys pretty much one after another and still be alive. I mean, black and white and heart pounding, but still be alive. Not anymore. They do so much more damage now, melee attacks do. And of course, they've also introduced a brute.
Yeah.
So you now get this one dude who's bigger than all. Like, 3 of your dudes together make one of these dudes. You know, and they give you cute, quick time events for meleeing in this now, where you have to, you know, press your triangle button to evade an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. And these brutes, man.
And circle.
Mm-hmm. Circle if they're choking you so you can get out of that hole.
Yeah, I miss the circle sometimes.
I miss the...
Or the headbutt.
Yeah, or the head... For the brute, it's that,
yeah.
Or the headbutt. But I know for a fact that in crushing with the brute, that overswing is a one-shot. So you can't afford to miss, not even once, in crushing.
Oh, that hurts.
A melee attack, because it will kill you.
Yeah. So as far as your level of difficulties, you have very easy... for those who just want to, you know, have a somewhat uncharted experience and get through and experience the story.
They want uncharted light.
Yeah. Then you have easy, you have normal, you have hard, and then you have crushing. Which is basically, you know...
Insane.
Yeah. Basically, if you play Gears, it's insane.
Gears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what
exactly.
It is. It's insane, Uncharted.
Well, I mean, they do have some different mechanics, obviously, totally different game.
Right.
In crushing, and also in hard, like I've also noticed in multiplayer, when you do stealth kills in hard and crushing, the NPC will drop a grenade.
Oh, okay.
So as soon as you take that stealth, they'll drop it, and you have to get away from it before it blows up. So you have to really be precise in your kills.
That's a nice.
Nope.
If I stealth kill you, I shouldn't have to be worrying about whether or not
I'm going to get killed. Too bad. Naughty Dog thinks you have to.
I will say that that's one mechanic that they added as you're taking out enemies that I really like and I try to go for often is you have the ability when you are fighting using melee, any AI that's carrying a grenade, if you add a circle, I found, into your melee attacks at some point, you will actually open up the grenade that's on their body and kick them back so that they'll blow up. Mm-hmm. This is extremely helpful if you have, like, a group of thugs that are around you, if you can actually push the person who is about to become the human grenade into the group, because it will take out the group. Hugely beneficial.
And you can, and there's a trophy for taking out so many people with one grenade.
Yep. I haven't got it yet, but I'm getting closer.
And there's a trophy for smacking people with fishes when you're in Yemen.
Serious?
Yeah, when you're in that market and you have to hand fight because you can't have guns out in Yemen.
Yeah.
You could pick up the big fish and smack them
with
fish.
Get out!
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go slap a bitch with a fish.
There's trophies for that.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
So, the gameplay, absolutely on par with what you would expect out of an Uncharted game. If you haven't played an Uncharted game before, you will be pleasantly surprised, because it is really, it makes you think.
Now, I know when...
It's not a button masher.
I know when we first got them, and I was watching you play on your PS Fat, you know, yep, down here, that you were kind of complaining about the camera.
Yeah, and I...
Here's my question.
Okay.
Because you've now played on both of our systems, the Slim and the Fat.
Yep.
Did it seem different on my Slim?
No.
Okay.
Seems the same on your Slim.
Okay.
And I think that that's just going to be, for me, playing with the sensitivity, which is something that you can do in your options. You can play with camera sensitivity. You can have the camera autofocus where it's supposed to be, or you can change that. I'm probably going to, on my next playthrough, change that and see if it affects it, because camera is still an issue for me. There are times that, because Naughty Dog is setting up a specific cinematic that they want you to see, I can't see where I need to be seeing to get Nathan to go where I want him to go.
Okay.
So, for instance, there are times where I'm climbing things where I'm like, okay, I'm pushing up and I'm hitting the button that you should make you jump over this rail. And instead of jumping over the rail, he jumps off
the rail. And dies.
I'm like, no, I told you to go the other way. But because of the cinematic, I actually need to be pushing left instead of up to make him go over the railing. And so it's stuff like that, and you don't get any clue, really, to when that direction piece changes a lot.
Right.
And so that really throws me off and makes the experience frustrating and not fun. But there are far fewer of those experiences that I'm having in 3 than I did in 2. I had a lot more of those experiences in 2.
Now, what are your thoughts about the shifting between gameplay and then, like, the half-cinematic gameplay where, like, you're running from something?
I love it. And here's the thing. I'm used to that because of God of War. Just because in 3, you had more of that where it was, like, cinematic. But the difference being, in God of War, there was a clear moment where you knew you were coming out of the cinematic and going into the gameplay. Uncharted looks so good and plays so well. It is difficult for me at times to know when the cinematic has actually ended and I actually have control of Nathan. And at first,
When you're crawling through that thin space with Charlie.
Yes.
Because at first the cinematic is him helping him get in, and all of a sudden you need to push forward.
Yeah.
I was like, why aren't we going anywhere?
Exactly.
Like, it's me now.
It's me now. You know, and there are a bunch of those experiences. And at first it was frustrating for me because I'm like, well, how am I supposed to know? But then I took a second and I realized that just shows me how good the engine in the PS3 is. When it's really taken advantage of, because it is seamless.
Yeah, like
moving from FMV back to gameplay, active gameplay. There are a couple of times where you actually get the visual cue that you've come out of the cinematic, because the camera swoops and Nathan's body movement changes, and so you know, okay, well, now I have control of Nathan. But there are quite a few where you don't get that cue, and I just tip my hat to Naughty Dog on that, because it is difficult at times to tell when I've come out of the cinematic. I think they do blend them well together, though.
Oh, especially in this game.
I have to say that there's no point where I feel I was so deceived about the switch between the FMV and having to do the QuickTime element that I missed the QuickTime element. I didn't miss any of them. And so to be able to do that blending and not make it difficult for me to, you know, do the quick time element that I need to keep the game going or not insta-die, I have to say is pretty cool. The only one that I ever messed up on was the plane one. And that's just because I didn't realize that I could actually move Nathan to the front of the vehicle. So I missed my flight the first time I did it.
Yep.
But I
was there for that.
Yeah. But I have to say, again, in trying to not, you know, give away too much, the gameplay is solid. It is solid. It's not perfect. I don't think that we'll get perfection in gameplay anytime too soon.
I don't think it will be in your lifetime or mine.
But I will say that it is as close to a perfect playthrough of a game that I've ever done.
A lot of people seem to be really surprised in terms of the time for the game. Like, the amount of time that you can play. Like, the campaign.
Okay. Like,
a lot of people were really surprised that, you know, for someone who is really versed in Uncharted, they could get the game done in 7 hours.
I don't think that that's a bad thing. We've had this conversation before.
Right.
If the story's good and the gameplay is solid, the fact that I can get it done in 7 hours just means that I have a higher replay value because I can do it again and this time go through. I mean, if you're not worried about getting all the treasures, if you're not worried about, you know, exploring all the area, you can absolutely knock Uncharted out, especially if you're playing on very easy or easy, in under 7 hours.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Okay.
I mean, I played normal my first playthrough, and they actually do give you a place where you can actually go and see. They break down your entire gameplay in terms of nominal, you know, time, spatial, temporal, whichever one.
Pick them.
And I completed my first playthrough in normal in 10 hours and 4 minutes. And that's probably only because, for the first part, I was like, you know what? Fuck treasures. I'm really just, I want to see this game. I want to see where the story is going to take me. Mm-hmm. And then halfway through, I was like, shinies. And then I was like, damn it. They got me with the shinies. They got me. But I was really interested with the statistics that they show. Because like I said, they do break down all of it.
Yeah.
So it took me 10 hours and 4 minutes to complete the game. But about an hour and 36 of that was me just standing still trying to figure out fucking puzzles.
Oh, and let me tell you. The puzzles, oh, they upped their difficulty.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
I did, too. I mean, I felt like I was given enough clues that I could figure it out on my own without a guide.
And then on top of that, even if you didn't figure it out, if you stand there long enough, your NPCs will tell you what you need to do.
Yes, they will give you a hint, and if you don't, even if you don't have hints turned on. So if you're trying to be a badass and be like, no, I'm going to solve this entire thing all by myself. I'm turning the hints off. I'm turning the subtitles off. I'm just going to figure this out on myself. The NPCs will be like, hey, you know, that looks like a space we should go. And the camera will pan over there and be like, oh, okay.
So it's like, oh, it's, I have like, to move this to look at this while this is doing this. And, oh. Like, I wanted that one time, like, Sully is just like, I wasn't paying attention to him at first, and then he's like, yo, Dre. Well, he didn't say yo, but he's just like, hey, kid, you gotta do this and this. I'm like, I'm figuring it out, Sully. Like, this is not Uncharted 3 Sully's Adventure, okay?
Although it kind of is Sully's Adventure.
I'm just saying. I was just like, you know, I'm Drake, I'm supposed to figure it out, you make me do all the fucking climbing, so let me solve the fucking puzzles, okay?
Get off my back, Sully. You're not my dad, although you're kind of my dad.
Oh, he is so his spiritual and emotional dad, and vice versa for kid.
I know, it's so sweet.
Apparently, men can hold hands in Yemen.
Yes.
So, you can't hug your girlfriend in public,
but
you could totally hold hands with your BFF Gary.
Yeah, just saying. You can totally bro it out. You can bro it out.
Steve, you can hold hands with Steve.
Yeah. Or Sully.
Or Sully. Which he does in the game.
I know, I'm so funny. Like,
what? I loved it. It was cute. It was very cute. So yeah, I don't want to go. I really don't want to talk about the story because it's something you have to experience. So I don't.
It's good. It's, you know, Naughty Dog does a really good job. I would say, you know, just like we've talked about Ubisoft with blending actual history with some fiction.
Oh man, they went through a lot of research to get this game right,
and they did get it right. And yeah. And it just, it's interesting. Visually, it's gorgeous. There are a lot of oh shit moments where you're like, where you're invested and you feel like you are Nathan and you've got to get out of this situation. And the situation is kind of like, what the fuck just happened?
I mean, did anyone
like,
notice?
Did that just really happen?
I mean, did anyone notice that pretty much Drake, if he wasn't having like a CG moment with his group, when it was you trying to get out, he was like, I got to get out of here. Like, all of his other lines were, I've got to get out of here, or we have to get out of here.
And pretty much.
So, I'm like, so, no, who I'm trying to remember who does the voice for
it. Nolan North.
Yeah. So, Nolan North is like, so, a fourth of my lines are, I need to get out of here, or we need, yeah, I can do that.
I mean, not really.
It's like, oh my god, easy money. I can do this. Oh, and a lot of no's. Oh, I can do this. I can do this.
Seriously, like, pretty much Nathan Drake is going, I gotta get out of here. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
No.
No. Oh, shit. I gotta get out of here. Oh, shit.
We have to get out of here.
We have gotta get out of here. You can't come in here. That's my girl.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
There you go. That's Uncharted.
That, there you go. Abridged.
We just spoiled it. Sorry.
There's all the dialogue.
Yep.
It was just like the dialogue in Drive.
Wait, hold on. Hey, kid. He's tripping balls.
Yeah. All right,
we gotta get out of here.
I love that she's like, he's tripping balls. I'm like, yeah, Claudia Black. He is tripping balls.
He was totally tripping balls. You'll get there.
You will. And if you haven't already, stop this, play it, and come back.
All right, you. Because you've actually done it. I haven't
gotten yes, I've played yet. Some co-op.
Co-op!
I haven't played the competitive multiplayer yet. But I did jump into some.
You did.
No.
Oh.
No. What you saw me playing was the co-op multiplayer.
With the different waves and shit? I thought that was the competitive thing.
No.
That's co-op?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yes. You can do those things again in competitive. Oh. But instead of fighting NPCs, I think you'll fight NPCs and other players.
Oh.
In the competitive. Yes.
Ooh.
So, but no, I went co-op with the two guys that I did co-op with in 2, mm-hmm. when I should have been doing it with you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But that didn't happen.
Nope.
And
again.
You are not there yet.
It wouldn't be an Uncharted without you playing the co-op and the multiplayer with somebody else first.
I'm not done with it yet, so you still have time to get on the panda train. Of fun, okay? It will happen. But anyway, the co-op, they give you waves now. So, because before you could jump into a game and play Gold Rush only,
mm-hmm.
or Plunder, or
Survival.
Yeah, Survival and stuff like that. Now, you go through 10 waves and they alternate between them. So you might start off with a survival,
mm-hmm.
where you have to kill 25 people,
yep.
you know, NPCs,
yep.
To make it to the next round. Instead of each person getting, I think, three respawns,
mm-hmm.
now the whole team has 12 lives.
Okay.
So
three for each player, up to 4 players, makes sense.
Mm-hmm, yep, so you use a life to respawn back on the map.
Dig it.
So you don't just lose 3 lives in a wave and then you're done. Like, you can use them all the way up until your last level.
Okay.
But like I said, they do alternate between them. So you might start at survival and then your next round might be siege, where you get a base area, mm-hmm. that gets highlighted and you have to stay in that area,
yep.
for you to get any type of money or points for your kills.
Okay.
So any kills outside of
the area don't gain you any.
Zero.
Gotcha.
Zero. And obviously you want to accumulate points so that you can level up your weapons, your guns, get more skins for your...
And there's a ridiculous amount of skins for this game, by the way.
So many skins. And then after that, they'll give you Gold Rush, where, you know, an idol will appear on one side of the map and you have to put it in a treasure box on the other side of the map.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get 2 bouts of that. And then they also do scenarios for these things. So I don't know what the name for that is yet, because we just jumped into one really fast. But in the scenario, you got to play Chloe, Elena, and Sully, and you were trying to get to Drake. Drake has been kidnapped. You have to go get him. And then he becomes like a weak ass where you're like, oh my god, you got shot in the foot. We have to protect you.
Dude,
while
you got shot in the thigh.
Whatever. It's just like, I gotta figure this out. Give me some time. So they gave him more lines in the co-op.
Yes.
Instead of the campaign. But,
Yes, because I don't remember him saying, we have to get out of here.
No, because he was trying to figure out the statue while we were protecting him. But I like the scenarios. And they gave you scenarios in 2, but these were a lot more story-based. Like, they actually gave... It wasn't just, oh, we have to get to the next save point, to get to the next area, to get to the end, to get to whatever treasure we're getting. Like, there was dialogue between the 3 characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh god, Drake got kidnapped. The guy just said that, you know, that he's been murdered, but he hasn't been murdered because we're going to go and find him here. And I'm like, oh, you actually flushed out
Like a mini story.
Yeah. So they're all mini stories that could possibly have led to your campaign. Possibly.
That's interesting.
Which I liked. Like I said, I did have one glitch in my co-op. I was playing Elena. We were in the middle of, I think the map was called Museum. And we were doing a gold rush. And I'm running with the idol. And literally, I'm running towards the box to put it in. And Elena fell through the map. Like, I fell through the map. It went completely blue. And she just fell. And then she came back and I was nowhere near the box that I was at when I fell. And I didn't have the treasure with me. And the two guys I was playing with, Bramamon, who used to write for us, and Circus Freak, he's my buddy, see me and my, like, apparently Bramamon saw my sprite fall, like, through the map. And when I came back, he's like, what just happened? I think Elena just saw heaven. I feel like her life just flashed before my eyes. It was blue. It was all blue. And it was so awkward. I was like, I'm really tripping right now. Like, I don't know if I don't like that kind of glitching. I don't like falling through the earth. Okay?
I fell through my existence.
Literally. I was like, what void was I just in? I'm like, it wasn't black like yours, but I was just like, still don't like it.
Yep.
Still don't like it. But I mean, it's really flushed out. I really do like it. They've given some new look makeovers to some of the NPCs that you encounter.
I know, Chloe doesn't walk like a duck anymore.
Chloe lost some weight.
In her ass.
Not just her ass. But actually in her face, too. She's thinned out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Elena's got an ass.
I know, Elena has ass now. I don't know what happened, but Yemen has worked for her.
Yep, I think it was the food.
It might have been. I think she might have got some rice and beans. Was like, I love this shit.
So, I mean, it's like, oh. So, I think Naughty Dog was listening to our podcast where I was like, yeah, Chloe walks like a duck. And now they make Elena walk like a duck.
She does. She does this squat thing where literally...
There's so much ass she has to, like, counterweight it to balance it. She's got to balance her ass.
Oh, but it's funny. But it works for her.
Well, yeah.
Okay. And I was like, wow, Elena has an ass now. And she's kind of badass. I mean, Chloe has retained all of her badassiness.
But you didn't see much of her badassiness this time around because you didn't get a lot of her, like, in your gameplay.
No, but what I think is really nice is that it feels balanced. You know, because you have this story, and it basically makes a segue of when you're working with one set of three and another set of three. It just, it makes sense and it fits. So, where we're ending up with everything is we love this game. I will be honest with you. I will probably, no, let me not lie. Uncharted 3 will be the reason that my PS3 is not going to be turned off before the beginning of the year. Okay. Frankly.
And now for my segment, I've got nothing but love for Uncharted 3. But any qualms that I do have with this game actually comes back to segments of the story. So I'm going to try my hardest to explain my qualm without divulging.
She's going to try, people.
I'm going to try not to spoil anything.
She's trying.
So where my qualm comes into play is, I mean, you are seeing Nate be examined under a fine-tooth comb in terms of motivation, goal, what he's willing to risk for the unknown.
Right.
And there were a couple of times where you could definitely see the air of this deep-seated obsession in him.
Yeah. I'm with you.
And
I'm waiting for the butt.
Right. Near the ending, where a normal person, I think, would become subdued from their obsession. Maybe that's not even the right word. Where I think he'd be overcome by it and would make a really bad choice. He made no choice at all. Like,
Don't give it away.
If you are a coke fiend,
right?
And you're at a place where you're like, your drug mule has decided to take your stash and shove it up another drug mule.
Uh-huh.
I don't think your reaction would be okay. I think you'd be like, where the fuck is my shit? Like, I feel like there's that moment of overwhelming emotion.
Yep.
And it wasn't there.
Okay, so here's...
You know where I'm talking
about. I know what you're talking about. Okay, and so I'm going to try to give you my opinion without spoiling this thing. I think that what you're interpreting as a no decision was actually a decision, but was out of character for his obsession.
Okay.
All right?
Because
it was a decision. A decision was made. An action was taken.
A non-action was taken.
Well, no,
which was, I guess, an action?
Yes. Yes. And that's why it's so big, because Nathan Drake is man of action, and by not taking an action...
It's like making a bigger action.
Correct.
Okay.
So a decision was made.
Okay.
It wasn't the one you were expecting Nathan to make. And it's because Nathan had an epiphany due to a thing that happened...
That one time
in that place that really fucked with him emotionally. I believe you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay? So, again, we're trying.
Oh, my God. This is really good for us.
Okay? We're doing really well. But that thing was the thing that changed his action, non-action.
So, if that event had not happened, he most likely would have had the action that I was expecting him to have.
Okay. But that thing happened.
And that just made...
And that changed.
And that made him go right instead of left.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Now that I have someone else to bounce that off, because at first I was like...
No, but that's what... And that's why that thing that happened was so important. Because that thing happening is the thing that changes Drake's arc.
Okay. All right.
And so that's why that point that the decision... That the coke fiend, you know, makes and is okay and lets it go is not the hey man, where's my shit with like a gun pointed. So,
got it.
I believe that
is the angle that they were going
correct.
For. Okay. Because I was kind of like, I see how he could, I'm like, I see how this could line up to be a possible way to resolve it, but knowing his track record, it seems so unlike him.
And it is, but because of...
The event. Got it. I wasn't thinking that far back.
Yep, like, you gotta go back. If you go back to the event, because you remember how messed up he was?
Yes.
That thing, and then the thing that the chick said earlier...
Yeah, Marlo's a dick.
Okay, but the thing that Elena said...
Yes.
That's what changes that decision.
All right, so then
that's why I say it's so emotional, because if you're paying attention, that which happens before really does come back to mean something at the end of the game, which doesn't always happen.
Right. Because you lose a lot in all the action and everything else going on.
But not in this one. And so that's why I was like, okay, that makes sense, because...
Yeah. Of that.
Yeah, because of that.
Okay. So then, yeah.
So you'll understand. This will also make so much sense. After you've played it. Because then you two will be like, all right, so is that thing you're talking about this thing?
Right.
And you can ask us on Facebook. We'll tell you on Facebook if you ask us to actually explain what the hell we just said in code to each other was. We will answer it if you want to know. Especially if you've played it. But you probably already know if you've played it.
Yeah, that's pretty much...
Yeah, there's a ridiculous amount of skins that have been promised. There's DLC that's been promised for the game. I gotta tell you right now, again, because it's leading off Broke Bitch November, if you have a PS3 and you play action games at all, it's a buy.
This has set the bar, I think, for Broke Bitch November.
It really has. Everyone has to live up to this in November, as far as I'm concerned.
Of the year?
Boy, it's a tough fit for Game of the Year, because, you know, Gears 3, again, was emotional, was solid gameplay, you know. So, for me, it's tough. I mean, right now, if you told me I had to choose right now between Gears 3 and Uncharted 3 for Game of the Year, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't make a decision.
Epic Mickey. Done. Just kidding. I love you, Mickey, but just kidding.
But seriously, I would not be able to make a decision right now. I would, because I could come up with reasons for and against both games, and they're equally...
I gotta tell you, Skyrim's gonna win. Skyrim is gonna win Game of the Year.
I think you may be onto something there.
It's like already getting a 10 from IGN before it's even released.
Well, IGN got to, you know.
I know, they get to play things like a month before we do. I know.
No, it's more like 2 months.
I just love when sites like that, like,
we need foresee. A dev kit.
I just think it's funny. Just like, oh my god, we had hands on. It's 10 out of 10. It's like, it can't be perfect. It cannot be perfect. We are not on the verge of perfection in the industry.
Oh,
yet.
It's Skyrim.
Did you play it at E3? Did you go in?
Oh, you should have gone in there.
No, was that the day that I was, like, recouping from near death?
It might have been.
Yeah, I was trying to preserve my life force.
Yeah.
But there'd be dragons, so they already had me at dragons.
I know, they pretty much had you at dragons, but...
But yeah. Going back to Uncharted 3, there's a shitload of treasures. There's 100 treasures.
Yeah.
And they are really good at not making them,
like, blatant.
Some of them
you gotta, like, really work for.
Some of them
didn't have a guide,
you would never see them. You would never... No, you... Like, there's a ship mission.
No, there's one where you would never see it. Because, again, and maybe it's just me, my plane of existence, I don't always think, hey, when I enter the room, let me look at the ceiling.
Oh my god, the first thing that I do when I walk up, down, left, right, alright, proceed through. Next room, do the same thing, but backwards.
See, I always go left, right, down. Nope. Because shit jumps up.
Circle.
I never think...
I do a whole circle.
Okay, but still, that one treasure that I got for you, where was it? It was in the ceiling.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That you missed.
Now, see, the area with the, because some of these puzzles, like that globe, we had to move the globe and the light.
That one, like, right off the bat.
It took me a bit, so I was like, Mike, I don't know geography. I'm like, where's Australia? This should help. And I'm like, Pangea, my ass. And I finally got it, like, after 10 minutes, I was like, fuck yeah, globe, I own you. But then when you're filling up the water to be able to move that, there's a bracelet that's lodged up in where some of the water's coming in.
I know, and you have to get that before the water comes in, because you can't dive down and get it afterwards.
No, the smoother way to do it is wait till that's full, swim, and be right underneath it, and grab it as soon as you get the prompt for it, because it will sink to the bottom, and then you can't dive down to get it. So yeah. I was like, Mike, how would that work? I'm like, I'm going to get in the water right underneath it. I'm just going to shoot it and wait for the triangle. And I got the triangle. I was like, booyah. And yeah, step on the crocodile. You'll know what I mean.
So yeah, Uncharted. I'll be honest with you. If we were going to rate it, you know, going back to our candies where we did...
I would do 10. I know we did 5, but it deserves more than 5 candies.
It's really good. It's really good. I know we've been gushing, but it's really good. So I highly recommend it. It's the reason my PS3 is back on.
Yep,
so,
and it
Naughty
will...
Dog, you made me turn that shit back on.
Kudos. I want to wear your T-shirt with pride.
Kudos to you.
I need to buy one. I need money.
Well,
I need a job.
So there you have it. Pretty awesome stuff. All game episode.
Yep.
Of the Esh Podcast, which... We will probably be doing a couple of more of those.
We're in Broke Fuck November for
November. I even said it wrong. I was so excited.
I think we should make a banner on our site that says Broke Bitch November.
That would require that I make some graphics.
Yeah.
Damn. All right.
If I can make a video, you can make some graphics.
Okay. I guess. That means that these podcast episodes, as well as any things that are written on the site, will have to use the Broke Bitch November tag.
Yep. Oh my god. And on Twitter, when I'm talking about the games that I'm playing, if they happen to be a part of Broke Bitch November, it has to be a hashtag.
There you go. We're turning it into a thing. People participate. You can do
Broke Bitch November!
That's right. You heard it here first.
In my Oprah voice.
In your Oprah voice.
And you get to be broke. And you get to be broke.
But not you, because you have an American Express Black card.
That's not me.
That's not me. Not me at all. But you can check out all the Broke Bitch November stuff that we're going to be talking about on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce to the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written within the week. Any questions or comments, go to mailbag@landofesh.com. We are available on iTunes. So go there, type us in, and search us out.
That's right. It's really easy to find us. Go to the music store, search for Electric Sisterhood, hit that beautiful little subscribe button, which will ensure the moment that we put podcast episodes out for your enjoyment, you will get them downloaded onto your
computer and iDevice.
You can leave a comment and review.
4 stars are better.
We appreciate your honesty. And if you like what we do, making sure that your review reflects that correctly.
See, that's how you ask for the thing. 3 stars are bust.
Stop it. I'm going for fours. Don't go for threes. We're better than that. But if you're not into Living La Vida, you can also find us on the Zune Marketplace as well. Using it the same way. Stop laughing like that.
Going to the Zune Marketplace
and searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe that way as well. But if you don't want to do that,
you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for anyone who flies underneath the Esh banner.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the land of Esh. Our new shows go out on Monday, but on Tuesday you can follow it up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast, which is co-hosted by our homeboy King Baby Duck. On Wednesday, you've got an episode of Geek Aggro, which I highly recommend, and our boy Deuces Wild holds that down. For the rest of the week, we've got your nerd covered with all the stuff that we write on our respective websites, which you can find conveniently in one place, landofesh.com. It's kind of your portal to the Land of Esh. You can also get issues of our print magazine there as well. You can get it in PDF form if you want, or print. I don't care which one you get, just as long as you get one, because it's pretty fresh to death, and we love creating those things. Then we're on Twitter. You can find out the entire Land of Esh list by going to my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and checking out the Land of Esh list. You can engage with us on Facebook. Let us know if there's something that you're interested in getting our opinion on. We might just put it on a show. You can ask us questions there. If you're looking for something a little more immediate as far as a response, or you can just hang out and talk games with us. It's cool. You know, whatevs.
And who knows who else might get added to the Land of Esh sometime soon.
Yes. I promise. I will. We have announcements. It's going to be cool. I just need
announcements,
time.
Announcements, announcements.
Yeah, there may be some things that happen over
there. They've been pending for some time.
I mean, the deal is done.
They have the spinning wheel of death right now.
Right now, they're getting, you know, the spinning marble of doom. But, you know, there's...
I have a wheel!
There is, you know, a Thanksgiving break, so there may be some time coming up, and some things may be happening over that corridor that would be pretty effing sweet. We'll just say that.
Okay.
Right now. Well, what shit are you digging? I mean, I know what you're digging, but go ahead.
No, actually, you might not know what I'm digging. Oh. I'm digging duck faces.
Okay.
People on their Facebooks, particularly feminine peoples. Now they're all gangster hardcore and like to do pictures with duck face. Like with the...
Okay.
And I've got one, but I did it back in like 2008, so you're a little behind.
The Panda Party. Okay. Duck faces.
Alright. I copyright that action from 2008. All right. But duck faces. Bitches be doing them.
Alright.
Okay. What are you... I'm digging the phenomenon of the duck face.
Okay. That's cool.
What are you digging?
Owling.
You haven't even owled yet.
Actually, I have. I just didn't take a picture of it.
I know. We need to do that.
If
Esh aunt and Esh uncle can plank in Aruba.
No, seriously. It was funny. I was owling at the Cheesecake Factory. So owling, yeah. Digging it.
With dude.
My friend. Yeah, it was cool. He's got a picture.
Are you serious? Yeah. Anyway, okay.
So that's that. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out.
See you guys next week. What do they call that in that? Hair. It's the straight man and then the really funny one. Like, not that I'm saying the straight man's not funny, but he's like the blah 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 blah, and then the funny guy's like punchline that makes his blah 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 really funny.
Yeah.
He needs that guy.
Yeah.
Or gal. Right. I know he'd prefer.
I'm your straight man.
Yeah. It's okay though, you have bigger boobs than me.
What does that have to do with the
fucking... I'm trying to give you a one up. See?
What the fuck
See?
Is that? See? anything with shit.
See?
Alright, you can't just anything, but you have bigger boobs. Like, that doesn't mean
it's like,
dick.
Man, my taxes suck. Yeah, but you've got bigger boobs.
Exactly. Like, this is...
It's like, man, I got a refund. You suck, but you've got bigger boobs.
Yeah, no, see, that doesn't... No. No. Just so that you know, that's not like... Winner!